Hello, and welcome to A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall, a ministry of Calvary Chapel San Juan Capistrano. Open your Bible and join us, as together we seek to grow in our daily walk with the Lord.
Well, this morning we're in the midst of a series of studies that we've entitled Courage is Contagious. And that is where we observe the lives of individuals who were called out in Scripture to make a stand for the Lord, even in the face of great opposition. And so if you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to open with me now to the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel. And here's what it says, Daniel chapter 3, verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he arose in haste, and he spoke, and he said to his counselors, "Didn't we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered, and they said, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." The nation of Israel had begun as a theocracy, where Almighty God was their king. But over time, they desired to be like the other nations that surrounded them, and so they installed a monarchy. Some of their kings feared God and obeyed his commands, while others were wicked and they rebelled against God. And the idolatry of the surrounding nations that Israel was warned to avoid, they actually began to embrace and practice. The moral compass of the nation was broken. Many claimed to worship God, but at the same time, they worshiped idols. Their idolatrous practices altered their perspective. It morphed their mentality as a nation, and they began to call evil good and good evil. As the nation continued to decline, the Lord sent prophets with words of warning, pleading with the people to repent of sin and turn back to God before it was too late. He even allowed their economy and their livelihood of their agricultural harvest to be affected through a plague of locusts or withholding of rain. At times, God even allowed their national security to be impacted by their enemies in order that they would once again recognize their need for God. Yet rather than seeing the signs of their times, the nation and even God's people ignored them. Rather than heeding the warnings, many rejected them. The day eventually came when the long suffering of God was replaced by the judgment of God. The Lord allowed a powerful nation of Babylon to deport Israel out of their land and into captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon led three successive attacks on the city of Jerusalem. And the third and final attack, Israel attempted to resist and fighting back, which resulted in both the city and the temple being leveled to the ground. Nebuchadnezzar took all of the treasures of the house of the Lord, and he carried away everyone who remained 500 miles through the desert. And within that final deportation, several young men were taken, men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when these young men arrived in Babylon, they would have been awestruck by their surroundings. One historian pointed out that the city of Babylon was 15 miles long on one side, estimated to be 225 square miles with the Euphrates River running through it. It would be the equivalent of 4 to 5 times larger than the city of London. Inside the city, there were over 200 altars with 153 different temples dedicated to false gods. The walls of the city stood 330 feet high and they were 80 feet thick. And they had brass gates that were also 80 feet high with 250 towers surrounding the city. Imagine what it must have been like for these young men taken from Jerusalem, entering into the epicenter of idolatry with enormous statues of false gods towering over them. How would they survive? We come to find out that these courageous young men had determined before they were confronted by the culture that they would not compromise, but would serve the living God no matter what the cost. And I believe that we are living in a day when much of our world is calling evil good and good evil. And the decision has to be made far in advance that we will not bow to the idols of this world and worship them. We need men and women, young and old, determined to stand for Jesus no matter the cost. While captive in Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been chosen, along with their friend Daniel, to serve the king of Babylon. They went through a process of preparation, and the ultimate goal of their training was to transform, to recondition, to reprogram, to indoctrinate, making them into Babylonians. Thus, the first thing they did to these young men was change their names. They took their Hebrew names and replaced them with Babylonian names that were connected to the false gods of Babylon. They were seeking to take from these men their identity. The culture, the government of Babylon sought to reshape and to reform these men into something that God had not called them to be. And in many ways, we face that same challenge right now. There are those in the world who would love to take away our identity in Christ, to isolate us to the point where we can no longer be knit together in love. You know, I believe personally that one of the major setbacks of the current and ongoing social distancing, listen, it leads to social disconnection. Our identity, our humanity, our connection with other people is dramatically affected as we are reconditioned socially. Here we are seeking to flatten the curve of the coronavirus, but the spike of divorce, of abuse, of addiction, of self-harm, of violence, of crime gets to the point of no return. And listen, friend, there isn't a vaccine that can be made in a lab to alter that diagnosis. The Bible reveals that there is a satanic agenda to remove the God-given calling that we have upon our lives, to conform to a culture instead of influence the culture, to condition us to go with the flow instead of going upstream. Listen, someone once told me that any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes one that is alive to go upstream against the current. But in the midst of all the challenges that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were facing, the Lord had his hand upon their lives. They hadn't compromised their beliefs. They were good citizens of Babylon. In fact, the Bible says they had proven to be 10 times better than all the rest who had gone in the training program. And so much so that the king promoted them to leadership positions overseeing the affairs of the provinces of Babylon. However, there came a defining moment when their commitment and faith to God would be put to the ultimate test. In Daniel chapter 2, it is recorded that the king of Babylon had a disturbing dream one night, and Daniel was used to interpret the dream prophetically as it related to the kingdoms of this world that would eventually come to nothing and only the kingdom of God would last forever. By the way, can I just remind you, if you've forgotten, that one day the Bible says all of the kingdoms of this world will come to nothing. There's only one kingdom that will last for eternity, and that friends, is the kingdom of God. Nebuchadnezzar was impressed. He even acknowledged that there was a God who could reveal secrets, yet at the same time, it didn't motivate him to humble himself and worship that God. What he did was he started a massive, full-scale construction project of a large statue that he commanded everyone to worship. And this statue, according to the measurements in Scripture, was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. And when the statue was completed, it was placed 6 miles outside of Babylon for everyone to see. And following the construction of this image, there was a command given to worship the image. This wasn't a suggestion from the Babylonian government. Actually, it was an ultimatum. An official decree went out to all the subjects under the Babylonian rule. All the governing officials, which the Bible says included princes, governors, captains, treasurers, sheriffs, every level of authority was represented. And they were commanding all the people, listen carefully, to participate in a one world religious worship service. There was a convincing ultimatum attached to this one world religious service. It stated, when you hear the music play, you will fall down and worship the image. It's simple. If you don't fall down and worship the image, well, you die. That's it. There it is. There's your choices. No use in risking your life for some kind of freedom. This is your choice. It occurred to me yesterday that this week, when I went to Costco to get dog food, I didn't have a mask with me. And when I went to the door, I realized that someone was there and they had a mask for me. How convenient. And they gave it to me and they said, listen, if you want to come in here and buy what you need to wear this mask. And at first, man, internally, I pushed back and I almost, well, I was bothered. But then I remembered I had my Jesus is Essential hat on. And so I had to repent. And it's a true story. I'm human. I put my hat on backwards. And I put my mask on my chin. I'm sorry. I repented. But I was struggling with it. And I realized that I was being conditioned. And here was the condition. If you want what's inside this store, you need to put on that mask. And if you don't put on the mask, you're not getting what you need. And it dawned on me as I was pushing my cart through. How far are we away from a mask to a mark? I don't know. But what I'm telling you is we're being conditioned that if you want something in here, you need to do this. And if you don't, and it's for the health of everybody. And if you don't do it, then you're not getting it. And I realize we are getting closer and closer to the return of Jesus. That's something to be stoked about. Everyone in the kingdom seemed very clear on what was required. Nobody protested it. And then in Daniel chapter 3, the music began to play and everyone bowed down. Well, almost everyone. There were three guys that said, we're not going to bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But here's the thing. The Babylonian media got a hold of the story. And they informed King Nebuchadnezzar. And needless to say, he was furious. They said, hey, king, I want you to know something. There's some guys in the kingdom. They're not listening to you. They're not bowing down. Everybody else is, but they're not. What are you going to do about it? Because this is going to set a precedent that's going to be unhealthy for the kingdom. So you better push back. And so what did the king do? He called them in for an interview. And it's as if the king didn't believe that they actually were resisting. Because when you read the text and he sets up this meeting with the three amigos, what he says is, did you guys really not bow? Did you really not bow? Are you serious? Yeah, it's almost like he didn't believe the report. He had to check it out. But this wasn't fake news, friend. This was true. They didn't bow. And so then the king became furious. And let me paraphrase what he said to them. And you can read it in Daniel chapter 3, but here's what the king said in essence. Listen, boys, I like you. You do good work. But let me tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you guys another opportunity. Let's call it a second chance. When the music plays, if you bow down, no problem. Go back to your job. Everything's fine. No big deal. You're good. We're good. On the other hand, if the music plays and you don't bow down, you're going into the fiery furnace. And what God is there that could deliver you out of my hand? In verse 16 of Daniel chapter 3, we see a very respectful yet unwavering response to a very real threat. Please notice what they say. Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you've set up. The three Hebrew men, they weren't disrespectful in their response, but they were resolute. They confidently and courageously stated, if God wants to deliver us, then he will. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow. In other words, even if things don't go the way we hoped, it's not going to change our course of action. We are already decided that there is a line that we are unwilling to cross, and we will leave the consequences up to God. You see, the fear of the fiery furnace was an attempt to get these men to alter their course, but they didn't fear the furnace, they feared God. And we need today men and women who fear God, who fear God more than they fear man, who will be obedient to God when that obedience is called into question. Perhaps at this moment, standing before this king, the young men remembered the words of Isaiah the prophet who had prophesied before. When they were about to go into captivity, here's what he said in Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. You need to make note of this passage, friend. This is what it says. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. The king made good on his threats. He had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego arrested and bound. He was upset by their unwillingness to bow, and he was so infuriated that he had them heat the furnace 7 times hotter than normal so that they would be completely incinerated. And so he selected his bravest men to take these 3 men who were bound hand and foot, and to throw them into the fire. And when they went to throw them into the fire, they themselves were melted. And in that moment, the Bible says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down, bound in the furnace. And the king stood by, he was watching, and he was waiting for them to be burned alive. Yet instead of being melted by the flames, a miracle took place. As the king looked in to the burning, blazing furnace, he saw not only the 3 young men in the fire, but a 4th man in the fire. And the king thought his eyes were playing tricks on him. And he said to his counselors beside him, didn't we throw 3 men into the fire? But there's 4 men, and the 4th one looks like the Son of God. Here before us this morning, in recounting this courageous moment in biblical history, we discover a powerful principle, and here it is. Jesus is with us in the midst of the fire. We have the assurance of his preserving presence regardless of the pain that we go through. But listen, friend, God doesn't always deliver us from the fire, but he is with us in the midst of the fire. You are never alone. He may allow you to go through it, but he'll be with you in the midst of it, and he'll ultimately bring you out of it. Right now, you, me, the church is in the midst of a fiery trial, but the Lord is here among us, among his people. He is here. He has not abandoned us. And there are certain things that the government may try to take away in this process. But listen, they can never take Jesus away. He's with me no matter what. And whether God delivers us from the furnace or he's with us in the midst of it, we can remain confident and we must remain courageous. The king then called into the furnace and he said to the three men, come out of there. And it says that they came out of the fire. The amazing thing to me is the king had to ask them to come out. Have you ever been in the midst of a fiery trial and you sense the presence of the Lord in such a tangible way that when you came out of the fire, it was almost like you felt closer to the Lord in the midst of that trial than you did when you came out of it? These men had to be called out of the fire. And they came out of the fire. And when they were examined, they didn't smell like smoke. Their clothing wasn't burned. They didn't even smell like they had been burned. In fact, the only thing that was burned up were the things that bound them. God takes us into the fire. God allows us to experience the fiery trial so that things that need to be burned up, the chains that need to be broken, they're broken in the midst of the refining process. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter, beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing had happened to you, but rejoice in the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. The Lord said through Peter, don't think it's strange. We do. What we're going through right now is very strange, unprecedented. But the Lord reminds us that he's working in the midst of it, that he is refining us, that he is changing us, that he is working in us. And some of you this morning who are here, you're going through the midst of the fiery trial of discouragement. You're feeling the discouragement, maybe by what you see, or by the call from your boss you got this week, and it is weighing you down, and you are finding yourself discouraged to the point where you want to give up. Listen to me. Listen carefully. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart, friend. Others of you, you're in the fire of loneliness. You've been so isolated from people that it's getting to you. But the Lord wants to remind you, he is with you. You're never alone. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. These men came through the fire. They courageously stood for their faith and they had a tremendous testimony. And after they came out of the fire, listen, Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them. And he said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. Who was delivered? Those that trusted in God. They were delivered. And they frustrated the king's words and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And then as Nebuchadnezzar would often do, you know what he said? He said, I'm going to make a new decree. And here's my decree. Here's my new decree. California is open. Well, hopefully, pretty soon. No, that wasn't the decree that he made. The decree that he made was this. He said, I make a decree, verse 29, that any people, any nation or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, well, they'll be cut in pieces and their houses shall be made an ash heap because there is no other God who can deliver like this. That seems pretty extreme, but nonetheless, a new decree was made. Nebuchadnezzar was confronted by a real and living God. And everything changed from that day forward. What a turn of events. In one moment, you're in the fire, no hope of getting out. And the next minute, everything changes. Folks, God was with these three men. In the fiery ordeal that they went through, God was with them. And he went through it with them. And the truth is this morning, that through life's fiery trials, God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God won't leave you or abandon you in the midst of a national crisis. God won't leave you nor abandon you in the midst of a global pandemic. He is right there. He's with you right now. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. Another lesson that sometimes we realize from this passage is that there comes a time when we have to make a stand. Regardless of what everybody else thinks, regardless of everybody else's opinion that they formulated from somebody else's opinion that was formulated, there just comes a time when you have to make a stand. When you say, God, this is where I'm standing from here on out. I can't go. This is what is not an option. This is a non-negotiable issue right here for me. And I'm going to stand fast, even if it means the fire. Let me also say finally, if you're not saved today, if you're not a Christian, somebody told you about this service and you'd say, you know what? I've never received Christ. I'm hearing about things going on that are lining up with biblical prophecy. And I realize I keep hearing Christians say, Jesus is coming. Friend, he is coming. And if you're not prepared to meet him, then I'm going to encourage you to cry out to the Lord, to pray a simple prayer that says, God, I'm a sinner in need of a savior. I repent of my sin. I receive you today. I believe that you died for me and that you rose again. And he will hear you and respond to you, and you can be saved, friend.
Thanks for joining us today for A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. You'll find us online at adailywalk.org. That's a good place for resources to help you grow in your daily walk. If you'd like prayer or have questions or comments you'd like to share with us, our email is adailywalk@gmail.com. You can also reach us by phone at 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. To watch today's message again or any message you may have missed in the series, download our free app. Simply search CCSJC. Be sure to stay tuned with Pastor John on Instagram at John P. Randall and on Twitter at PJRandall7. Make sure to join us next time when we'll again open the Word together, seeking to apply God's truth to your daily walk.